We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you lending us some of your time. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Prize Picks. If you're unaware, Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. It's just you picking 2 to 6 player stat projections. And then you're watching the winnings roll in. PrizePicks.com/gold, promo code gold, and they're going to match your first deposit of up to $100. So you put in $100, you're going to have $200 in your account. That's PrizePicks.com/gold, promo code gold. Give them a look. Check it out. Daily fantasy sports. It's a lot of fun. Highly recommend it. More on PrizePicks later. But for now, we are talking about the 49ers making their pick at number 31 in the 2024 NFL draft. They took wide receiver Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Made sure that I put in some time before I hopped on here. I had watched quite, not a ton of Ricky Pearsall, but a bit because, I mean, it was even a couple months ago. I was a fan. I watched him, you know, I watched a few of his games and I just liked the way he played. And I kind of like, essentially what happened was I was like, ah, this guy, this is one of those like early second round guys. And I think he'll get selected like early second round. The 49ers won't really have a shot at him. But what the 49ers did is say, F that, we'll take him at number 31 in the first round, which I don't have a problem with. We'll get into that. Obviously, the trade speculation about Brandon Ayuk dominated the afternoon, and it was exactly what we thought it would be. Nothing happened. The 49ers stood at 31 and took a wide receiver. Now, it was said on Twitter by a few people that the 49ers were making several calls throughout the evening, trying to move up and trying to deal both. Not both or either, Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel, which, I mean, after today, the amount of things that you heard that didn't happen, and I understand a ton of stuff is talked about that never happens. A ton of stuff you hear about that never happens. But, I mean, there was so many rumors regarding Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers and possible trade-up targets, and none of that is necessarily wrong, but as you can see, so much stuff is said, especially during the draft, that you pretty much have to let so much of it just roll off the back. So Debo's name was out there. Brandon Ayuk's name was out there. Said the 49ers were making calls. Said the 49ers were receiving calls. But in the end, they stood pat at pick 31 and took wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, which let's talk to you about the player. I kind of have this broken up into 3 sections. Little intro. talk about the player, talk about how he fits, and then just give you some general thoughts, and then we'll get out of here. It's not going to be a long pod. I got to get to bed, but then we're going to do this all again tomorrow after the second and third rounds. So when it comes to Ricky Pearsall, all you need to know, it's not all you need to know, but if you want to know two things, routes and hands. He's a very good route runner, and he's very good at catching the ball. He authored what might have been the sickest catch in college football this year, going up and just snagging it with one hand, full extension, and immediately taking, I thought it was two hits. Great hands, great hand-eye coordination. He had the fastest three cone of any wide receiver in the draft, which speaks to his ability to get open. You know, three cone, obviously bouncing back and bouncing in between the three cones. Pearsall, really fast at it. Did really well. He's definitely a Shanahan receiver. Very physical. Doesn't mind blocking whatsoever. Doesn't mind hitting people rather than going out of bounds. And he has traits of both Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. He ran a 4.41 40-yard dash. He had a 1.57 10-yard split. A 42-inch vertical jump. That is massive. And then, like I said, he had a 6'6", three cone, 17 reps on the bench, 6'1", 190 pounds. He's a specimen. He is a receiver through and through. Spent some time at Arizona State, transferred to Florida. If you know anything about Florida's offense and Florida's team, while Ricky Pearsall was there, they were not great. So there's a little bit of projection going on, but he still managed 65 catches for 965 yards. That's essentially 15 yards a pop and four touchdowns. Averaged 80 yards a game. Let's jump over to Matt Miller of ESPN. This is what he had to say in his pre-draft analysis. Pearsall makes adjusting to passes thrown outside his frame look easy, and his one-handed snatch against Charlotte was one of the most impressive catches in 23. His speed makes him a threat after the catch as a runner. And in the return game, he could stretch the field and shows the ability to make spectacular over-the-shoulder grabs. Pearsall has a good feel for how to create leverage getting off the line, and is the only receiver to run a sub-6'7 three-cone at the combine this year, and is a tough matchup when he gets a two-way go working out of the slot. Post-draft analysis, 49ers face an uncertain future at wide receiver with Brandon Ayuk set for a new contract. Pearsall helps alleviate those concerns moving forward. A fantastic player from the slot. Pearsall gives the 49ers height, speed, and a great jump ball player. Should Deebo Samuel or Ayuk be moved in the future, this is a pick for the future. Somebody else from Mensch, I think is his name, is slight reach. There are three receivers I have ranked ahead of Pearsall still on the board, but he is the 35th overall player, so taking him here clearly isn't a major reach. 49ers took him at 31. ESPN had him as their 35th overall player. If you don't know the name, you should. Matt Harmon of the Reception Perception just basically has made his life studying receivers and their success in certain routes. He's got those super cool route tree graphs that he posts all the time. He is a Ricky Pearsall stan. I'm going to try and get him on the pod. Absolutely loves Pearsall. Talked about the fact that he's a freak athlete. We talked about that in his testing numbers. He has him ranked ahead of a big list of big names. He had him ahead of Franklin, Coleman, Polk, McConkey. He had him ahead of all those guys. And he talked about the fact that the Florida's offense sucked, but he still managed to have a decent amount of success. He lines up equally both on and off the ball. He spent a lot of time in the slot, but still spent time on both on the outsides. He has an 87th percentile success rate against man coverage. So he gets open against man coverage, something the 49ers, I mean, they had in Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl, but the fact that Deebo Samuel was kind of getting strapped there when the Chiefs went to man coverage was kind of a big problem that a lot of people noticed after the fact. Ricky Pearsall, very good against man coverage. Liked him much better against press coverage than Ladd McConkey. not a lot of limitations, separates underneath and in the intermediate routes, and tons of success over the middle. I mean, you put all this together. Just put it all together. Routes, good size, 6'1", 190. Routes, hands, doesn't mind contact, likes to block, good over the middle of the field, good at creating separation, loves intermediate routes, loves routes over the middle. Like, you're, if I were just telling you all of these things, you would think I was talking about Brandon Ayuk. And I'm not necessarily saying Ricky Pearsall is going to be as good as Brandon Ayuk. But he has a very specific set of skills, just like Liam Neeson, that he is going to bring to the 49ers offense. And you can see an immediate fit. An immediate fit. You can see just exactly how he's going to benefit in this offense. And obviously there's a little give and take based on who he might be on the field with. Is Deebo Samuel still here? Is Brandon Ayuk still here? Is Juwan Jennings still here? Some of this projection either comes from, you can look at it in terms of this year or next year. But Ricky Pearsall in the slot with Brock Purdy at quarterback, you can just see an easy 5 targets a game. Easy. That's with the other guys on the offense. We'll get to kind of the fit within the 49ers here in a little bit. I'm trying not to get into that too early, but it's just very easy to see how he fits into the offense. It's very easy to see why Kyle Shanahan liked him. He was glowing in the post-draft press conference. So, I mean, I haven't gotten to the complaints department yet, and my complaints are minimal, but they do exist. But a very, very clear and easy fit. Very clear and easy fit. Now, where are my Ricky Pearsall stats? I'm not entirely clear on his injury history. He played 12 games last year. He played 13 games the year before, and he played 13 games the year before that. So it doesn't look like he's dealing with any nagging injuries. And again, he's pretty good size. He's bigger than Ladd McConkey, has about an inch and 10 pounds on him. Anything else I need to talk about when it comes to his game? Pretty impressive receiver. Again, that 6'6 three cone, it'll tell you really that that's the fastest three cone of all the receivers in the draft. And that goes to show you why he is so good at creating separation. Again, just to repeat myself, Matt Harmon, reception perception. Search Matt Harmon on YouTube. He has a 10-minute Ricky Pearsall video where I got a lot of this information. And you should subscribe to him and check it out. Again, I might have to hit up Matt and see if he wants to come talk Ricky Pearsall. Okay, the fit. Now, Kyle Shanahan made an interesting... You know what? Hold on. Where are we at? 11 minutes? I'm not exactly sure how long this pod's going to be. So before we get into Ricky Pearsall's fit and kind of just some of my thoughts, my closing thoughts, we got to get in a quick word about Prize Picks. You heard me earlier talking about them. Daily Fantasy Sports made so easy. There's no pros. There's no sharks. You're not competing against thousands of other people. It's just you and the numbers. 2-6 player stat projections, more or less. Watch the winnings roll in. You guys have heard me talk about it. I just love the fact that it's so simple. So simple. The website is super easy to use. You get in there, you log in, you search your team, you punch up your entry, and you're done. You can have it done in less than 60 seconds. It really is that easy. And that's a big compliment from me because so many websites and interfaces nowadays are just so overly complicated. It's annoying. That is not a Prize Picks problem. Daily Fantasy Sports with Prize Picks has just added a whole new layer of fun and intrigue into my football watching experience. And they have so many other sports too. You're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold, promo code gold, and they're going to match your first deposit of up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/gold, promo code gold, daily fantasy sports made easy. That's Prize Picks for you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, back to Slick Rick. Kyle Shanahan made an interesting quote during the press conference where he said, needs, roster needs aren't always obvious. They can become obvious the next year. You're not, and it's a very normal best player available, projecting a roster type of quote. And this is not a patting myself on the back, but over the last few pods, you have heard me and KP Matt Barrows and John Chapman talk about the fact that nobody should be surprised if the 49ers go receiver. Here's why. One, in the immediate, Brandon Ayuk could still be traded. Do I think he's going to be? I don't. I think the 49ers realize that Brandon Ayuk is more valuable to them than he will be to any other team in the league. And I think Ayuk realizes that too. And I think, once the draft kind of moves through, that stuff will kind of settle down and they'll get it done. In the meantime, Amon-Ra St. Brown has signed his deal. A.J. Brown has signed a new deal. Huge numbers, pushing up close to $30 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal was kind of advertised as like $28 million a year, and ended up being like $21 million a year. A.J. Brown's is averaged as like almost like $32, $33 million a year, but we'll see what that really is. So the numbers are getting up there. It would behoove the 49ers to get this done quickly if they're going to get it done. Again, could the 49ers still trade Ayuk? Yes, they could trade him for an early second round pick and maybe another future pick. Do I think they're going to? No. And I don't think that the pick of Ricky Pearsall has anything to do with Ayuk. And we have been saying this on this podcast. If you take a look at the way the team is built and the contracts and how they're coming up, Deebo Samuel has a $18 million escape hatch next year. You click on 2025, you click on cut post June 1, and the 49ers would save $17.6 million with that release and only have $6.6 million in dead money. That is massive. So if they're not seriously exploring that, they're at the very least exploring a significant restructure. That's just a huge... For a team that's going to be backed up against the salary cap, for a team that's going to need to pay Brock Purdy if he has another year, anything close to what he just had, you stare at something like that and it becomes pretty clear what the approach would be. Now, could the 49ers just try and eat Deebo Samuel's $24 million cap number? Sure. But again, I'm not saying Deebo's gone next year, but I'm saying the chances are very good. Juwan Jennings, wide receiver 3, is on a 1-year tender. So if this all came to fruition next year, it would be Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall. And then, depending on who else they might bring in or wherever. So flipping out about the idea that the 49ers took a receiver now, it's just a little short-sighted. Not to mention the fact that if Deebo Samuel gets hurt, if Juwan Jennings gets hurt, if Brandon Ayuk gets hurt, it immediately becomes a need, and you will be in your praising our Lord Jesus, or whoever you worship, that the 49ers selected a receiver. It's just easy to see. I don't need to make it any more complicated than that. I was going to try and drop a Ricky Bobby quote, talking about the baby Jesus and how much he weighs and stuff, but I don't know it well enough to drop it. So I just went with Lord Jesus. We had to pivot. So again, you've got Ayuk. I would guess things get settled, but you never know. Deebo Samuel, massive contract out next season. It's going to be very tempting for a 49ers team up against the salary cap. And Juwan Jennings has one more year. It's not hard to see how Pearsall fits into this equation, let alone you start to look at the injury risk. If one of those three guys were to get hurt, then all of a sudden Pearsall's role is magnified tremendously. So the fit is there. The need is there. He's not an only slot guy, but I think the 49ers will get the most out of Pearsall from the slot. And again, I think he's going to instantly develop into one of Purdy's favorite targets. Like, he gets open. He gets open fast. He creates a lot of separation. He has good hands. Like, Purdy is going to love throwing to Pearsall, period. And it's going to happen a lot. Pearsall also has something I haven't mentioned. He's a good return guy. He averaged like over 11 yards a punt, which is very respectable. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers put him in at kick returner now, because the new kick return rule is almost like returning punts. It just gets kicked up and it has to land in that receiving zone. And then you're basically behind blockers that are like 5 to 10 yards in front of you. I could really see the 49ers getting a lot of use out of Pearsall as a punt returner and kick returner. He can do Deebo sorts of things. He's not obviously as thick as Deebo. I don't think he can hit as hard, and I don't think he's quite as hard to tackle as Deebo, but he had plenty of success taking end arounds. He knows how to manipulate people in the way he runs, and he can find a crease. So he still has some versatility to his game. He's down a block. He loves contact. Again, it shouldn't be hard for you to hear all this and imagine how he's going to fit in with the 49ers. He is everything you've kind of come to expect from a 49ers receiver. He brings. Now, if you want some additional thoughts, and there will be slight critique, but it's just not that big of a deal. John Lynch did say that they're still having very positive talks with Brandon Ayuk, and they are trying to get something done. So he also said that he got a text from Ayuk saying the Pearsall pick was fire. I'm not getting the impression that Ayuk's going to be traded, but there's been crazier things. Pearsall, I mentioned this earlier, could be considered a slight reach. But I sure as hell wasn't going to be there at 63. And a lot of people will say, well, the 49ers should have traded down from 31. Those offers aren't always there. Like, there's not a button. That's one of the most irritating things for me, and I'm hopefully not offending anybody, but there is no trade up and trade down button sitting in front of them, and all you have to do is hit the button, and a trade down offer appears, and you're like, yeah, we'll take that one. You know, you have to seek it out, and a team has to be willing, or a team has to be seeking you out, and that just doesn't happen all that often. I think a lot of teams want to trade back. Everybody was, and obviously, you know, when a team trades back, there's another team trading up. But some of the trades that the NFL world projected going into this draft simply just didn't happen. And it seems like teams are usually more content with staying pat or trading up in very small increments, you know, and that to me is also, that could have been initiated by the other team. Trading back is just not as simple as a lot of people love to make it seem. There's not a button sitting in front of them. I choose trade back. There has to be two willing parties, and it's just not that common. It's just not that common. So if the 49ers knew they were not going to get Pearsall at 63, which there's a very good chance they were not. Again, he is ESPN's 35th ranked player, PFF's 45th ranked player. So none of those get anywhere near 63. And again, if a guy fits your scheme and he does everything you want to do, then reaches don't really exist. And if Pearsall works out 2 or 3 years from now, no one's going to give a shit where he was taken. If Pearsall's rattling off, you know, almost 1,000 yards and 80 catches, you know, he just becomes one of those true short yardage go-to guys, instant separators. A great compliment to Brandon Ayuk, whoever's there. No one a few years now is going to go, well, you know, they could have gotten Pearsall at 39 instead of 31.
no one cares.
And again, if that was even an option. So there were also one of my other complaints, and this is, again, not a passionate complaint, but there were some very, very appealing names still on the depth chart when the 49ers took Ricky Pearsall. Cooper DeJean, ESPN's like 19th ring player. Poor Mike Silver. I don't know what information he got, and which is funny because I just got to telling you a couple episodes or in the last episode about how reliable Mike Silver was. And he didn't, whatever he heard, he fired off that the 49ers went with Iowa cornerback Cooper DeJean. And then all of a sudden immediately deleted it, said he was sorry that he tweeted it, and then said they were going with Ricky Pearsall. So I don't know what happened there. I'm certainly not throwing him under the bus. Not a big deal. But Iowa corner Cooper DeJean, who also has return ability, was the eighth ranked player on PFF and the 19th ranked player on ESPN. That's huge value. Again, I don't know where actual teams have these guys. He's still on the board. Obviously, no one else took him after, you know, he went through an entire first round before he got to the 49ers. So obviously other teams don't necessarily value him like PFF does or like ESPN does. There was also Johnny Newton, the defensive lineman out of Illinois, one of the second highest rated defensive linemen, the second defensive lineman in the draft. Now, just I'm going to put this out there cautiously. I did see a tweet on the Twitters, on the X's, that said, consolidating what I've seen in public, potential round one prospects who may have been affected by medical red flags. Leitu Latu, the edge out of UCLA, he fell out to like pick 16. He fell a lot longer than people thought. Troy Faltanu fell to like pick 20, I think. Johnny Newton, who still has not been selected. Jackson Powers Johnson still has not been selected. Amarius Mims, he was selected like midway through the first round. And Ladd McConkey still has not been selected. So maybe there, I'm not saying, you know, maybe there were some injury concerns that pulled the 49ers off of a lot of the names that we had kind of come to expect through the draft process, the mock drafts. But again, you're talking about a player that ESPN had ranked 35th. And the 49ers took him at 31st. So if you're upset about a reach, then you shouldn't be. you shouldn't be. And there are things out there that will talk to Ricky Pearsall's skill set. And think of it this way. He was in a bad offense with a bad quarterback in Florida. What's he going to do on a good offense with a good quarterback? There's a much higher ceiling available to Ricky Pearsall than what we've seen. Kind of rummaging through my notes, making sure there's nothing else I left out. Real cool video of him getting selected by the 49ers and everybody going crazy. Those are always fun. So kind of to sum up my feelings, I like Pearsall. I think I've liked him for a while. And the only reason I really didn't throw myself into the mix with Pearsall a little more is because I just figured he was just going to be in that weird gray area where the 49ers weren't necessarily going to be able to take him. There's a lot to like. I'm looking at a tweet right here that said Ricky Pearsall had the fourth lowest drop rate in college football last season for players that saw 100-plus targets. He had four drops on 146 targets. He was targeted 146 times, but only had 65 catches. So that'll tell you how poor the quarterback play was in Florida. 146 targets, but was only able to catch 65 of them. And he has, according to Matt Harmon of Reception Perception, he said he had a very good catch rate. Like when the ball went to him, he would catch it. So just kind of looking through, seeing if there's anything else I missed, any other words I can get out. I've given you some pluses. I've given you some minuses. But in the end, I think there's a lot to like here. And if you're upset about where the 49ers committed their pick to, the position that they committed their pick to, there weren't a whole lot of impressive tackles left on the board. That kind of went exactly how you thought it would. You know, all of them were pretty much when the 49ers picked Ricky Pearsall. Here's what ESPN's big board looked like. Cooper DeJean, Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Xavier Leggett went next. A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Ennis Rakestraw, Keon Coleman. All of those guys are still on the board except for Xavier Leggett. So it's not like the 49ers are out of their mind in terms of leaving Cooper DeJean and Johnny Newton on the board. If they drop this far, there's a reason they dropped this far. And that stuff happens. I'm sure Cooper DeJean will probably be like the first pick of day two. Stuff like that. These guys will go off the board very, very quickly. But there's also a reason that they're still on the board. And that doesn't mean that everybody in those draft rooms is not wrong. That doesn't mean that those players aren't going to pan out. But obviously the 49ers weren't alone in leaving some of these guys there. Players that the 49ers could I put so much work into studying Ricky Pearsall that I forgot to kind of just create you guys a little cheat sheet for players that they could go. I still have the big boards up here, so let me scroll down. This is kind of sloppy of me. I wish I would have been a little bit more prepared. It's just like when they picked Pearsall, I was like, okay, let's go talk about Pearsall. So where are these at? Where's these player ranked at? This is 55th. You've got Alabama pass rusher Chris Braswell, who was brought in on a top 30 visit. Notre Dame offensive tackle Blake Fisher. He's ranked 56th overall per ESPN. He's somebody that the 49ers could look to bring in. Again, 49ers pick 63rd. So let's go over closer to that. Jalen Polk, another wide receiver out of Washington, if they wanted to double dip. The Washington offensive tackle, Roger Rosengarten, the 49ers, John Lynch, and Chris Forrester went and saw him work out personally. He is ESPN's 62nd ranked player, and the 49ers pick 63rd. West Virginia center Zach Frazier is their 63rd ranked player. Could definitely be somebody the 49ers go into. Jatavion Sanders, the pass-catching tight end out of Texas, is 64th. So these are all guys. Michael Hall, defensive tackle out of Ohio State. All you got to do, is go to ESPN's big board and find the players that are going to be in the area of the 49ers. And a ton of these are guys that the 49ers have worked out, like Roger Rosengarten and Michael Hall. And a ton of them are guys that you could see still fitting. Defensive tackle from Clemson, Ruka Roro. He's an impressive player. Kingsley Suamatea is still here. He's 74th overall. Adisa Isaac, the pass rusher out of Penn State, 77th overall. Brandon Dorless, defensive tackle out of Oregon. He was also worked out by the 49ers on a top 30 visit. Brendan Rice, son of Jerry Rice. I don't see them going wide receiver two picks in a row. That would be kind of crazy. Christian Haynes, offensive guard out of UConn. There are so many players on here that are going to fit right into that 49ers 63rd pick range. And remember, they do have 3 4th round picks. If they want to move up a little bit, they could move up a little bit. Maybe there's a surprise trade. Like we've been hearing about Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, maybe that nets them a pick. I don't necessarily see the 49ers, just to get this out of the way, I don't necessarily see the 49ers trading Deebo Samuel. If you go back to this year and you click trade, if the 49ers trade Deebo Samuel, they will incur $21.7 million of dead money and save just under $7 million. So it would be like you're still paying Deebo Samuel. But again, when you trade someone, their contract goes away. I think after that year, don't quote me on that. I'm not a salary cap guy, but it would be surprising. It would surprise me if a team was able to give any sort of a day two pick for a player like Deebo Samuel with a $21.6 million cap number. And then obviously the really valuable one is Brandon Ayuk, but any team that trades for Ayuk is going to have to instantly give him one of these huge receiver contracts. So I've kind of fallen out of the idea that either of those receivers could be traded, but it certainly could still happen depending on the package that's offered. So a ton of players still ready to fall into the laps of the 49ers. They're in a good spot. It was cool the way the first round fell for the 49ers. 6 quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks. The first 14, 15 picks were all offensive players. So there were, the way the board fell really pushed some talent to the 49ers. Did they take advantage of that? It depends on where you know how you see it. But again, I there is a lot of reasons to like Ricky Pearsall, and not a lot of reasons not to like him. He is a very good receiver. And I think that he's a very good receiver that fits. That's an important word, that fits perfectly into what the 49ers want to do. And it doesn't necessarily have to fill an immediate need. You can see how it fits in over the next next two to three years. And I think this is definitely a pick that the 49ers and Brock Purdy are going to like a lot. And you're going to see the benefits of it relatively soon. Be ready for the Ricky Pearsall offseason. Holy shit, nobody can cover this guy reports. They're coming. Hopefully I am there watching and sending them to you. But the Ricky Pearsall is always open. Tweets are on the way. Okay, I promise. Hopefully that was informative to you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I will be back on here after day 2 and 3. And for the same thing. And then I will be back on here after day 3 to summarize the entire draft class and the picks that went down during that day. And then I'll start seeing who we can get on here to talk about the 49ers draft class. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the coverage. I feel like we were doing pretty well in the couple weeks leading up to the draft. And I want to keep that momentum going. I want to keep that momentum. So in the meantime, search up Ricky Pearsall highlights. I know it's just the highlights, but just go bless yourself with that and enjoy. It won't be long before you see that crazy ass catch. And you'll notice how often he's wide ass open. And he's a fun receiver. Fun receiver. I've liked him for a while. Wish I would have watched him more intently so that I could be just a little more excited about that pick. But again, I just thought he was going to be one of those players that was just perfectly out of reach for the 49ers in the gray area, I guess you could say, where they would never be. But they made it happen. So interesting. I like it. And we'll see what happens with those other players that were left on the board. See what happens. All right, everybody. Appreciate you. I will be back on here tomorrow night. If you enjoy the pod, I'm Rob for another episode of Striking Gold. Signing out.